This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Sue Collinson, for those who don't know me, and it's my joy and privilege to speak to you this morning about Genesis. My husband Mark and I saw a film the other day, and it wasn't that great a film, it was just a Hollywood blockbuster. But what was interesting was how I spoke about that film to two friends in the following days. The first friend, I just gave her a brief outline of the plot and talked about the character development or lack thereof. And the second friend, I honed in on a very particular aspect of the film because it helped me illustrate a point that I was trying to make as part of our conversation. Because that's what we do, don't we? We describe things in different ways to different people, depending on our audience and our context. That affects how we express ourselves. And this, of course, is what we see in Genesis. Last term, we were in Genesis chapter 1, looking at the first story of creation. And it was a cosmic, expansive, amazing account of how God the Almighty created the heavens and the earth, the whole universe. We heard about how God brought order out of chaos, how he made spaces, the land, the seas, the skies, and then how he filled those spaces with beauty and meaning and purpose. So here we have the second account. Oh, and he made humans. I mustn't forget that. He made humans, didn't he? That was part of his filling those spaces. And then he rested, as we remember, on the seventh day. But now, of course, we have a second account of creation, a second story. So we shouldn't be too surprised that such a huge and amazing story has two versions, if you like, because each one gives us a slightly different angle on what happened. So let's look at the verses together, as Chris said, on page 4. Verse 4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. That little verse is just a bit like a paragraph break, if you like. It's used, that sort of way of speaking is used throughout Genesis as a way of sort of marking a new start or a new different direction, let's say, in the narrative. And then it is as if we zoom in on the detail of what God is doing. We go from the cosmic to the local. We find ourselves in a particular place where there is no vegetation. It's a sort of watery wasteland. But there is a sense of potential, of fertile ground, because a stream would rise up, or a stream or a mist or flooding would rise up and water the ground. And then we read these astonishing words in verse 7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now, there are theories as to how these two stories fit together. It might be that the first one was written before the second one, it might be that the first one was written after the second one, is what I'm trying to say, as a prequel to the first. Or it might be that this is like a zooming in on day 6 and describing that in more detail. Or it could be that the two stories just sit complementary beside each other, and we're not too worried about how they fit together. These are academic questions and academic theories, and I would encourage you, if you're interested, to talk to Brian at the back. He is a good authority on that. But the important thing for us today is to recognise that the whole of the biblical narrative is a story of God revealing himself to us. From Genesis to Revelation, God is showing us, his creatures, what he is like. Through the call of Abraham, through the prophets, giving of the law rather, and then the prophets, and supremely in Jesus, God is saying, this is who I am. This is what I'm like. This is my character. And it's amazing that even in these four little verses, we can learn more about what God is like. God reveals himself to us in these verses that we are reading today. So the first way God reveals himself to us is through his name. What's interesting about this passage is that we get a different name for God than we did in chapter 1. In chapter 1, God is called Elohim, in the Hebrew, which means the Almighty One, the Supreme One, the Creator, if you like, the One who is above and beyond all things. But now you can see that the writer refers to God as Lord God. And when you read Lord in capital letters in your Bible, it translates into Yahweh. And Yahweh is the personal name that God gives himself when he reveals himself to the people of Israel. You can see that the writer has put two names of God together. It's a bit like saying Sue Susan, referring to me. Yahweh comes from the Hebrew word for I am. You may remember that when God was speaking to Moses and sending him back to his people with that message of liberation, Moses asks God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am, or Yahweh, has sent me to you. God wanted his people to know that he was the God of their ancestors. The God of their ancestors was their God, the God of the great I am. He was now the present one. He's not a distant, ancient God, obsolete and outdated. The people of Israel had to learn that the Creator God was also their Redeemer God, that the God who made the heavens and the earth is the same God who brought them through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, into the Promised Land. And it's the same for us, isn't it, today? He is the God of all time, of all generations. He is the God of now, of this present world, the God of 2024, the God who reigns over this world, who reigns over all that we saw on the 6 o'clock news last night. He is the one who reigns over our present, everyday lives. As the psalmist says, this God is our God forever and ever. The second way God reveals himself to us is through what he does. We read that the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground. And a man there is referring to human. The dust of the ground, that can be translated earth or clay. Sometimes, perhaps the best translation is of fertile soil, like the humus of the ground. So God takes something that he has already made and forms out of it a human being. And that doesn't have a gender at the moment. That comes later. Now, the Hebrew language helps us here as well, because Adama is Hebrew for ground, and Adam is Hebrew for man or human. So you can see the word play that is happening here. God took Adama to make Adam. And he made humans, Adam, to till and look after the Adama, the earth. We'll be saying a lot more about that in the weeks to come. But it's really important for us to recognize how closely connected we are to the earth, how that is in the very fabric of this story, that God took Adama to make Adama out of Adam for Adama. And isn't it an amazing picture, quite a powerful picture for us? We can all imagine what it feels like to pick up soil, how cool and damp soil is. And here we read God taking soil, as it were, and forming out of it such an intricate and incredibly complex and amazing being. I know it is mind-boggling, and it is very symbolic and pictorial, not scientific. But we can learn so much about it, because as God makes man, he gets his hands dirty. He touches the earth. And that is revealing to us what God is like. God is a God who gets his hands dirty. The way he forms man reminds us of a potter who forms something out of clay, out of an earth-like substance. Jeremiah spoke of God like this. In Jeremiah chapter 8, the Lord says, "Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel." God is a God who forms us and shapes us. He molds us into what he wants us to be. And just as God's revealing himself through the words of Jeremiah, he reveals himself supremely through his Son, Jesus, the God-man. And Jesus is always in the same business as his Father. Jesus does as his Father does. He bends down and gets his hands dirty. In John chapter 9, we read, "Jesus spat on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the blind man's eyes." Jesus used earth to bring healing and restoration to his Father's creation. And there was another time when Jesus bent down to the ground. That time when he bent down and wrote something in the ground. Maybe at that moment, he was thinking back to that first act of creation. Perhaps as he felt the earth under his fingers, perhaps he thought about that beautiful creature that his Father had made. Perhaps he remembered that form that was formed out of the earth. And then he stood up and he saved and restored the woman caught in adultery. Jesus does what his Father does. Throughout the whole of the biblical story, God is revealing himself through what he does, through his acts of creation and recreation and restoration. And he's still busy today doing exactly that. God is working through us, through his people, through his church. He is working to bring about restoration, freedom, healing. The Creator is also the Redeemer, restoring that which is broken and making it beautiful again. And thirdly, God reveals himself through what he gives. We read, "God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." We used to call CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, the kiss of life, didn't we? But this is more than bringing someone back to life. This is giving someone life. breathing into something that is lifeless and giving it life. And it's such an intimate picture, isn't it? God breathing into nostrils, God coming up close, God giving his breath to give life. And again, Jesus gives just what his Father gives. After Jesus' resurrection, at that other great beginning, that beginning of the new creation, Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room. And his disciples were possibly feeling a little bit like that first formed human, hopeless and helpless, perhaps drained of all life and energy. And Jesus comes among them and he says to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And then he breathed on them. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Spirit, breath, life. God shows us what he's like by giving us life. Not just our physical life as we take our first breath, but his resurrection life through the Holy Spirit. God is a God who is constantly giving and sending. He's an ever generous God. He's generous to us and to our world. And that is why he is constantly giving and sending. He hasn't stopped and he'll never stop. This is the cycle of God's grace, how he gives and he gives. God loved so much that he gave. So maybe this morning you need to know again the closeness of God's breath, that God is as close to us as our own breath. He lives inside us and he's all around us, and that he is a generous God, always giving. And just as Adam, the first human, needed to receive God's breath, we do too. We need to receive God's Holy Spirit again and again. And that is so that we can be part of this cycle of grace, be part of this giving and sending. We need to receive from God in order to give out to those around us. The reason why God reveals himself to us is so that we will know him. But when we know God, we love God. Because to know someone is to love someone. To be known is to be loved. Just as God knows and loves us, we can know and love God. I wonder if the band could come up again. Maybe this morning you need to know again how known and loved you are by God in order to know and love him better. As the band are going to play the next song, it's a chance for us to respond to what God is saying to us throughout this service. And I would invite you, if you wish, to come forward for prayer. You can do that at any time during the song. Because all of us need to receive more of God today. All of us need to know that God is the God of today, that God is the God of our lives today. We all need to know that God gets his hands dirty, that God gets involved, that God is still acting in redeeming situations and people. And we all need to receive God's life-giving Spirit. So would you stand with me as we respond in worship? Thank you.